Today's lesson is part two of the cup of death for the cup of life. We'll start our reading in John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We are told explicitly in verse 3 that a person must be born again to see the kingdom of God. To be born again, one must have first been born, or they would not be born again, but rather just birth or just born. In verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. In verse 5, we are told that unless a person is born of water and of the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Many people teach that when you are born of your mother, that this is being born of the water that was spoken of by Jesus. This teaching goes against the fact that verse 3 and verse 7 both tell us we must be born again. It is impossible to be born again if you were never born the first time. And when you are born the first time, that would not be being born again. But that would again be as stated above, just birth or just born. The very word again means to do once more, another time, anew, in addition. So the very word again lets us know that it has to be in addition to the first time that it has taken place. Verse 6 also goes completely against the teaching that when you are born of your mother, that this is being born of the water that was spoken of by Jesus. We are told in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So to be born of your mother would be of the flesh. But we were just told that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. We want to be born again of the Spirit. And as Jesus told us, this will also involve water. Listen carefully again to what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you have not partaken of being born again of water and of the Spirit, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. This is not something that you just want to shrug off or worry about at another time. Death can happen at any time, and when it does, the opportunity for forgiveness is gone. Now that we understand that the cup of life, the kingdom of God, involves being born again of water and of the Spirit, let's find out where the kingdom of God is. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now that we know where the kingdom of God is, let's continue in the book of Acts, chapter 1, where the author Luke is writing a second time to a man named Theophilus of the teachings of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, and James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The teaching continues on what took place in the upper room, and the fulfillment of the instructions of how to be born again of water and of the Spirit, in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. At this point we are told that this outpouring of the Holy Ghost was a fulfillment of the prophet Joel. Remember, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is establishing a new covenant or a new testament. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, the cup of life wherein righteousness is found, from the cup of blood that was poured out on the ground, the cup of blood that will never run dry, the cup of love wherein grace doth abound, the cup of death wherein thy king shall be crowned, the cup of the Spirit wherein our redemption is nigh. Continuing from Acts chapter 2 and verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. These three verses that we have just read have not yet taken place. This is a prophecy concerning the sixth seal and the time just prior to the battle of Armageddon. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of air, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Also, it is important to understand that verse 21 of Acts, which read, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, is speaking of the nation of Israel. During the battle of Armageddon, Jerusalem will be invaded. This is when God will fulfill his covenant with them. As we are told in Romans chapter 11, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. In the book of Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. In the breaking of the sixth seal, recall, there was a great earthquake, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. When Jesus' feet stand upon the Mount of Olives, this will be the great earthquake. We are told that the mountain shall cleave in the midst thereof, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. When the people of Israel that remain run to their Messiah, we are told in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Continuing from Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now that Apostle Peter has explained unto the men that were gathered together from every nation at Jerusalem what it was that was taking place, that they were both seeing and hearing, that being the Holy Ghost that was poured out, as the prophet Joel prophesied of, and that God had made Jesus, whom they had crucified, both Lord and Christ, he will now continue and tell every one what they must do to partake of the cup of life from the cup of death. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Apostle Peter has just given us the instructions for eternal life. Notice in verse 39, he tells us the promise is unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I would say he made certain that he expressed that this promise was from everyone, not only that was present there at that time, but to every generation that was to come. So to partake of the cup of life, Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again of water and of the Spirit. And now Apostle Peter has told us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This would be being born of water. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This would be being born again of the Spirit. This is the promise we have from God of eternal life. If you have not followed the instructions for what Apostle Peter has told us to do to partake of eternal life, then this should become your number one priority. Don't be one of those people who never follows instructions correctly. Now that you can understand the fulfillment of Jesus' words concerning being born again of water and of the Spirit, we will focus our attention on the importance of obedience. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul is speaking. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now was made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Here Apostle Paul has revealed something of great importance to us. He starts out by speaking of God, who has the power to establish us. But notice how we are established. Apostle Paul words it as, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. This would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. He then tells us the mystery has been kept secret since the world began, but now was made manifest by the scriptures. The ending of verse 26 is what Apostle Paul reveals to us that is of great importance. This was made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Obedience is and has always been what the Lord requires from us. Whether it was Adam and Eve, when told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or when Noah was told to build an ark and preach that it was going to rain and kill everyone not in the ark, or when Abram was told to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise, or when Moses gave the law unto the people of Israel, or when the children of Israel were told to take and possess the promised land, but instead were of the spirit of doubt. Just as they were required to be obedient, we too are required to be obedient today. Today we are to be obedient to our faith in Christ. Let's first clarify the gospel of Christ as Apostle Paul tells us what it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now we know what the gospel of Christ is, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. So we must be obedient to our faith in the gospel of Christ, which would be that we are born again by partaking of the Lord's death, repentance, burial, water baptism in Jesus' name, and resurrection, being filled with the Holy Ghost. To exercise one's faith in something, one must produce some type of action. To better understand this concept of obedience of faith, let's read what Apostle James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we find that faith is an action word. If there is no action attached to your faith, then your faith is dead. We also are told that we must be obedient to faith. So not only must you put forth an action, it must obey your faith. For example, if I say that I have faith that a smoke detector will save me if my home were to catch fire, and I purchase a smoke detector that instructs me that I must install a battery, and I did not, if my home were to catch fire, would the smoke detector save me? Was I obedient to my faith in the smoke detector? So if I say that I have faith that Jesus Christ will save me, and I was instructed that I must be born of water and of the Spirit the way that Apostle Peter has told us to do, and I have not, when Jesus Christ returns to catch away his saints, will he save me? Was I obedient to my faith in Jesus Christ? In James chapter 1, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What doctrine that was delivered unto you? The doctrine of the gospel of Christ, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that fulfills being born again of water and of the Spirit, which leads us unto a life of separation, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So not only must we be obedient unto our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we now will learn that this obedience unto faith will lead us to a life of separation, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So once we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, we then move into a life of separation, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In closing of the cup of death for the cup of life, we'll turn our attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The cup of life being born again, the body of sin put to death, a new creature the Lord has made for obedience in His name, the cup of wisdom poured out from above, foreordained from the only just one, predestinated according to His will, purge yourself, for you are a part of Him, until time be taken out of the way, so that all things can be fulfilled. Behold, the Ancient of Days, world without end.